John chapter 1, the title of today's message is, In Him Was Life. We look at the first verse in John chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Very familiar text for us, but there's much that we learn from God in this text. In the beginning was the Word. We learn three things from God in this text. Number one, that God is an eternal community. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This word was is in the imperfect tense, implying timelessness. You and I are bound by time. God is not. God exists beyond time. That is difficult for us to grasp, but it is true. It is how God is. He is an infinite being. The Word was God, but it also says the Word was with God. There is a sense in this word, the Word was with God. The implication here is that there is an other than. Persons, plural. Not just one person, but one who is with another. Community. There is a special meaning of personal presence. The sense of community. Our sense of community, everything that we know about community derives from God. And even more, as we come together, as is in our vision statement, that we are an intentional community of grace. Our community as God's people is a reflection of God Himself, because there is a special meaning in personal presence. That is the church. It is a reflection of God. So we see then that from this text, it arises that God is eternal community. Second, He is the creator of all. And this is speaking of specifically one person, individually. The Word, the one who is called the Word, He is the creator of all life. Meaning He is necessarily an infinite person. Because He is the creator of all life. And if He is an infinite person, He is the necessary being. Necessary being in that all He is the origin of all that is. And because He is the necessary being, it means that without Him, nothing would be, let alone matter. So He is the infinite person, He is the necessary being, because it is not possible for Him not to be. There's a lot of people who balk at that today. But think about this. He is the necessary being. It is not possible for Him not to be. I do not believe that there is any such person created in the image of God who inherently does not believe in God. People have become masters at suppressing truth. But I really do not believe that there is anything essentially as an atheist. He is the necessary being. He is eternal community. He is the creator of all life. And thirdly, what do we learn from God? Number three, He is a communicator. How do we know that? Because in the beginning was the Word, the very word, Word, speaks of communication. He is the Word. He is communication. He's the communicator. This speaks of personhood. This speaks of intelligence, language, information, words, communication. Our God, the infinite sovereign of all creation, the creator of life, is a communicator. He doesn't just sit back there aloof, not caring about anything that goes on. In fact, He communicates. He discloses Himself with truth. He discloses the truth of Himself to us. And we find that then in the word light. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That word light, it is illuminating truth, and it shines in the darkness. God is a communicator. He is eternal community, number one. Number two, He's the creator of all life, the necessary being. Number three, He is a communicator. He is the Word to us. It says then in verse 4, in him was life. In him was life. The word life is mentioned 36 times in John's gospel. In him was life, meaning life belongs to God. It is his to possess, not anyone else's. All life derives from him. It is an indestructible continuum. What do I mean by that? You were conceived physically at a particular point in time. It was at that point that you were granted the image of God as those cells began to reproduce. Because you're created in God's image. God gives you life that proceeds from him. You are a soul that has a body. And when those cells begin to reproduce, you then at that moment are possessed with the life that comes from God. And it is a life that is a continuum. It does not cease. Ever. That's who you are. That life derives from God. It comes from him. Scriptures tell us that in him all things consist. He's the one that holds it all together. Peter is speaking in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. He's speaking to the Jews in his public preaching that he does after the day of Pentecost. And he says, you crucified the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. What a name, what a term. That word prince is the word archegos. It means founder, initiator. He is the one who causes life to begin. Because life belongs to him. It is his possession. And he is the one alone who gives it. It was Jesus who said in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. He said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we think of biblical people in the biblical times, as they listened to these words and these words were written, when they read the word or heard the word life, what came to mind? What was the understanding of the word, the very concept, the term life to biblical peoples? It was this. Life was the ability to exercise all one's vital power to the fullest. The ability to exercise all one's vital power to the fullest. And that is with the understanding that one is, a person is, heart, soul, mind, and strength. You could not refer to the whole person without referring to and implying heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Scripture, a person is never referred to or implied by simply referring to the physical. It is heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are a unified whole. And life is the ability to move and develop. Anything today that is said to have life is something that can move and develop. And so it is with you and me. And we, if we have life, we have the ability to exercise all one's vital power to the fullest. And death is the opposite of that. Death is the meaninglessness of being bound for and enslaved to decay. Meaninglessness. What do we learn from this? As Eugene Peterson said, life is not something we manage to hammer together. It is an unfathomable gift. In him was life. The Word. The Creator. The necessary being. The one who communicated to us. And God created us in his image, and you created in his image. As C.S. Lewis said, you are a soul, you have a body. That's far different, even backwards from how most people think of today, and maybe even some of us. We think of ourselves as physical beings walking around, and yeah, I have this life, and I also have a soul. No, no, no. You are a soul. You have a body. There's a difference between those two. Because your soul goes on forever. And you will have a body in eternity. But the body you have now cannot continue. It will decay. You need a new one. You are an embodied soul. So let's talk about these two elements of life, because all life derives from Him, physical and soul. The physical life. We refer to it in terms of the vitals of life. The vital, what are the vital signs? There's the heartbeat, there's the breathing rate, there's the temperature, the blood pressure. You check these. If somebody has these and they're within the right range, this person is okay. Their vitals are okay. They're stable. They have life. They can thrive. And life is the physical life is the ability to have movement and to function. It is the ability to thrive. And there is productivity involved in that. Productivity and movement and functioning. But to what end? To what purpose? Is that all life is? Is just a physical thing? You know, we adults and sometimes the younger generation have different tastes in movies and videos. And I found that, you know, when my kids, every Friday night, we would have movie and a pizza and kids would camp out in the living room every Friday night. We remember those things like they were yesterday. And they would bring home videos. And oftentimes after watching the movie, I'm like, I felt like my intelligence was insulted. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You sound like British Parliament. It's a comic science fiction series. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. In the radio series, in the first novel, a group of hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings. What does that mean? Pan-dimensional beings. It's a little bit of that theology just naturally comes out, right? Pan-dimensional beings demand to learn the answer to the ultimate question of life, of universe, and everything. What is the ultimate answer? And this comes from a supercomputer called Deep Thought. Deep Thought was especially built for this purpose. It takes Deep Thought 7.5 million years to compute and check the answer, which turns out to be 42. Deep Thought points out that the answer seems meaningless, because the beings who instructed it never actually knew what the question was. You know what this is? This is an attempt to quantify meaning. You can't do that. You cannot quantify meaning. Meaning cannot be measured in terms of material and numerical terms. It can't happen. So what is life? Is life just material? Is life just matter? Is all that you have is just a physical life? Not by a long shot. You are a soul. You are a soul. What is that soul? Soul life. What is it? It means you are a person and you bear the image of a person. You are a soul. What is that? That is, as a person, that is your capacity to acknowledge God, to acknowledge the other person, and to relate to that person. It is your mind, your will, and your emotion. It is your capacity to recognize that there is eternity. And it is your capacity to recognize creativity and morality and beauty, and also to develop them. Creativity, morality, and beauty. Simply put, your soul is that part of you. It is you that moves Godward. Because it proceeds from Him. And the intent of your soul was to be drawn back to Him. Therein is your soul satisfied. In Him was life. In that soul, in that Godward movement, that is where we find purpose and meaning. Those things which cannot be described materially or numerically. I watched a documentary this last week. It was an interview by Tom Brokaw with Angelina Jolie. She is directing a new movie that is coming out this month. It's called Unbroken. It's based on the book by Lauren Hillenbrand on the life of Louis Zamperini, a veteran of World War II, a survivor of a POW camp. Brutally beaten in that POW camp. And when he was rescued, when the war ended, he came back to America. He got married, and then he started living his life in despair because he couldn't shake some of the stuff that had happened to him. His wife insisted that he go to a Billy Graham crusade. On his second time of attendance, he surrendered himself in faith to Jesus Christ. And he went back to Japan, and he forgave his captors. That's transformation. That is purpose and meaning that can only come in the one who is life. Now, the movie that comes out is called Unbroken. And it's directed by Angelina Jolie. You know who Angelina Jolie is, right? And you're listening to her, and she developed this relationship with Louis Zamperini, who passed away back in July. So the movie was already complete. And it was amazing to listen to her talk as to why she wanted to do this. You know what Angelina Jolie represents. She's famous, wealthy. She is considered by many the standard of beauty. And she says, after all of this is understood and true about her, she says, I was wondering what I wanted to do, what could I do? And she says, and I quote, and I said, God, please let me do something meaningful with my life. But I thought she had it all. She had all the things that could be measured, quantified materially, numerically. But she said, God, please let me do something meaningful with my life. You see, our souls long for meaning. There's not a one of us to which that does not apply. And even those who would deny the very existence of the necessary being, their souls long for meaning. And that is what is in us, which is why the scriptures here tell us, verse 4, in Him was life. The ability to exercise all one's vital powers to the fullest. In Him was life, and this life was the light of men. This life was the light of men. What is that light? That light is meaning. The life was the light of men. God introduces into the darkness, He introduces meaning. What is it? What is that truth that is revealed? The revealing of information, and what is that information that is represented by the light? It is two things. Number one, this is God, where life comes from. When the light shines into the darkness, it's God saying, this is God, where life comes from. We understand the primacy of light to life. Paul alluded to this very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That was the original command, let there be light. Because He knew that life was coming to this planet. And then He also says, and who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We understand the primacy of light to life. that this light that shines in the darkness represents the presence of God, the presence of the necessary being, and the life-giving qualities of this light, the life-giving qualities of the presence of God. That is what gives meaning and vitality to life. The second thing that this light represents in meaning, number one, this is God and where life comes from. Number two, this is that God's purpose and power are made available to man. When the light shines into the darkness, this life was the light of man. And when this light shines into the darkness, it says that God's purpose and power are made available to man. What do I mean by that? Purpose and power are life. In Him was life, purpose, and power. And that is made available to man. The light shines in the darkness. And what is this darkness? Darkness is aimless movement. If light represents meaning, then darkness is aimless movement. Ephesians 4. This is how Paul describes it. Those who have not acknowledged the light, those who have suppressed the light, those who have walked away from the light, they're described in this way. They walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's darkness. That is the general condition of mankind. And that is the darkness into which the light shone. And that light is life, the life that is in Him. It is the condition of mankind, this darkness is. And that means that we are looking at things, we are ignoring the soul, and we're looking at only the physical and trying to figure out everything materially and numerically. And we're ignoring the soul. And therefore, the things that bring meaning to life are longevity and pleasure. That's where we find our meaning, in longevity and pleasure. And there is a whole book of the Bible that tells us that that is what? Vanity. It's empty pursuits. It is a journey without a destination. How meaningless that is. Peggy Noonan says it very well. This was an article in Christianity Today, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Listen to what she says. I think we have lost the old knowledge that happiness is overrated. That in a way, life is overrated. She's speaking of this physical life. We have lost somehow a sense of mystery about us, our purpose, our meaning, our role. Our ancestors believed in two worlds and understood this to be the solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, short one. We are the first generation of man to actually expect to find happiness here on earth, and our search for it has caused us such unhappiness. The reason? If you do not believe in another higher world, if you believe only in the flat material world around you, you believe that this is your only chance at happiness. If that is what you believe, then you are more than disappointed when the world does not give you a good measure of its riches. You are in despair. That is the darkness into which the light shines. In Him was life, and life was the light of the world. But that light can be ignored, that light can be suppressed. And that is the general condition of mankind. And when that is the case, and all we have is this flat world, and everything that we pursue is measured and quantifiable in numbers or material, then what we're doing is we are living on artificial life support. I'm going to ruin some of your Christmases right now. You see that Christmas tree? What's it doing?
It's dying. its diet. It has an artificial source. There's a little bit of water in a bowl. I say, Rich, you've ruined Sunday for me now. It's dying. Why? It's been disconnected from the source of life. It is living on artificial life support. And it looks so pretty, doesn't it? We can look pretty on artificial life support. But we're dying. When we're disconnected from the source of life. This is why, loved ones, the light shone in the darkness. In Him was life. And as the scriptures make it clear, many can have physical life and yet be called dead because they are separated from God. They are separated from the source of life. It was God who said to the original parents, when they disobeyed Him, when they trespassed His loving boundaries, He said, in the day that you do that, you will die. You will separate yourselves from me. And that is the very definition of death and evil, that which is separated from God. In Him was life. He is the reconciling one. His presence is essential to life. Which is very interesting when you look at verse 5 here. You look at chapter John 1, 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word comprehend is the word katalambano. It means to grasp. There's two senses that it can be used, in which it can be used. Two senses. First of all, physically. To grasp something physically means to overcome it. Some of your translations may reflect that. That is like to grasp with one's hands or arms, to take under control. Like, for example, when a police officer needs to arrest a citizen in misconduct. To place under arrest, to grasp something, to put it under another's control. The darkness could not do that to the light. The second way that it can be used is intellectually, to grasp something intellectually, to understand it, to, as we would say today, wrap your brain around something, to actually recognize the true meaning of something. And it says the darkness could not comprehend the light. Why? Because the darkness was too focused upon itself. Darkness in man is great, but it could not overcome the light. It could not overcome the light. The truth of the matter is this. His life overcame death. His life overcame death. Death is something you and I have to live with, and His life overcame that. Death is that decay, that aimlessness, and His life overcame that. That is why the most well-known verse in all of Scripture, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes should not, what? Perish. But have everlasting life. In Him was life. Irenaeus, one of the church fathers, said, the glory of God is man fully alive. I believe that to be true. The glory of God is man fully alive. What points to God is man fully alive. And that is God's intent for us, to make us fully alive. Soul and body. That we, for eternity, will be able to experience all one's vital powers to the fullest. That's what He calls abundant life. That's what He calls eternal life. And you and I can have that. You and I can possess that now in our souls.
when we surrender ourselves in faith to Jesus Christ, the one who is life. In him was life. And that life was the light of man. The psalmist in Psalm 91:16 quotes the Lord God speaking and saying, "Because he calls upon me, I will satisfy him with long life." John the Apostle makes it very clear in his letter, his first letter, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You might be alive, you might look pretty, but you're on artificial life support and you're dying if you do not have the Son. If you do not have the Son, you are not connected to the life source. And you are bound for an unending meaninglessness. Who wants that? In him was life. So I invite you this morning, if you are here this morning and you have not come to the light, you have not responded to the light, you have not surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ because in him is life, then I invite you to come see me afterwards and say, "Take me to the light. I need to know Jesus Christ." Because I recognize that I might look good on the outside, but I'm on artificial life support. I'm not connected to the source of life. Think on these things. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we are so thankful for your self-disclosure. That you, as the light, did shine in our darkness. And we recognize, Father, that light is essential to life, and your presence is essential to our life. So, Father, work in our hearts, and anyone here this morning that does not know you, that does not have the Son, Father, draw them to yourself into the light, that they may have the life that comes in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your revelation. Father, all we can do is thank you with our voices and with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.